I told y'all the last time I preached that I always ask Mark to play some crazy song when I am working on my sermons, and this was it. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. The classic song from U2, Bono and Edge, that's who we had up here. And they just needed the hat and the glasses, and then we would have been set. The song is about Bono searching for meaning in life. I know that's a little heavy this morning after daylight savings time. If you're tired, I understand, but we ask these questions. Why are we here? What are we doing? What's the point to all of this? And there's someone in the Bible that spends a whole book devoted to those questions. And it's the book of Ecclesiastes. The writer of this book, we don't know exactly who it is. He identifies himself as the son of King David, and he's king of Jerusalem. And some people think that it's Solomon, but the book was written later than Solomon's time. But the writer of the book wants us to think of Solomon. He wants us to think of what Solomon did, who Solomon was. Solomon, who gained massive wealth, built up Jerusalem, built the temple, and had people worship there, and governed Israel at the peak, the pinnacle of its achievement. It was pretty much all downhill after him. If anyone was in a position to reflect on human achievement, it was Solomon. He did great things, amazing things, wonderful things. But all these things were found to be lacking. While they maybe weren't totally pointless, certainly not pointless, he didn't find that ultimate meaning of life in them. He didn't find that secret. Something was still missing. At first, the writer thought that the meaning of life would come from having wisdom, but he finds that brings weariness. Then he looks to food and wine and achievement. Now, he doesn't overindulge. He's not a drunkard or a glutton. But he's like a researcher, trying things out, trying to figure out where is the meaning. Is it this? Is it that? Everything he finds lacking. And this is where we're going to enter into his experiment. Our scripture reading comes from Ecclesiastes 2, 14 through 26. I'm going to read it to you from the Message, so the scripture verses are a little off because they don't really outline it that way. But I think this really captures the writer's intent in a way that's very approachable to us. So it says, "And then I took a hard look at what's smart and what's stupid. What's left to do after you've been a king? That's a hard act to follow. You just do what you can and that's it. But I did see that it's better to be smart than stupid, just as light is better than darkness. Even so, though the smart one sees where they're going and the stupid ones grope in the dark, they're all the same in the end. One fate for all, and that's it. When I realized that my fate is the same as the fool's, I had to ask myself, so why bother being wise? It's all smoke, nothing but smoke. The smart and the stupid both disappear out of sight. In a day or two, they're both forgotten. Yes, both the smart and the stupid die, and that's it. I hate life. As far as I can see, what happens on earth is bad business. It's smoke and spitting into the wind. And I hated everything I'd accomplished and accumulated on this earth. I can't take it with me. No, I have to leave it for whoever comes after me, whether they're worthy or worthless. And who's to tell? They'll take over the earthly results of my intense thinking and hard work. Smoke. That's when I called it quits. Gave up on anything that could be hoped for on this earth. What's the point of working your fingers to the bone if you hand over what you worked for to someone who's never lifted a finger for it? Smoke. That's what it is. A bad business from start to finish. So what do you get from a life of hard labor? Pain and grief from dusk to dawn. Never a decent night's sleep, rest. Nothing but smoke. The best you can do with your life is have a good time and get by the best you can. The way I see it, that's it. Divine fate. Whether we feast or fast, it's up to God. God may give wisdom and knowledge and joy to his favorites, but sinners are assigned a life of hard labor and end up turning their wages over to God's favorites. Nothing but smoke and spitting into the wind. It's a really hopeful message, right? You're going to put one of those on your tombstone. I hate life. I hate life. It's spitting into the wind. I work hard for all of these things, and I can't take it with me. Somebody else gets to have it. Our writer is having quite an existential crisis. He's tried hard. He's a hard worker, and that's something that we need to remember. He has worked hard for these things. They haven't been given to him. He's worked hard. And he realizes that it doesn't matter. He's been king. He's been wise. He's been studious. He's been industrious. But the same fate will come to him that comes to everybody else. The same fate will come to him that comes to the fool, the morally bankrupt. They're all going to die. The search for wisdom has been weariness. The search for pleasure and materialism is vanity. He can't take his stuff with him. He has no control over his legacy. This writer wants to be eternally remembered, but he knows he'll be forgotten within a day or two. Surely there must be more. Surely there must be more to this. If not, then what's the point? His research experiment to find the meaning of life has been a failure. Everything is vanity or chasing after the wind. That's how the NRSV phrases it. Nothing but smoke and spitting into the wind. Have you ever felt that way about life? Have you ever felt yourself conducting that experiment to find out, what is the meaning of life? What's my purpose? If I just get this great job, everything will be worth it. If I just find that person to spend my life with, my life will have meaning. If I just get this big achievement, then I know that what I do will matter and live on. If you found yourself there, you'll find, or have already found, that in these things you will not find the secret to life. They might bring some meaning or purpose for a bit, but in the end, it's all smoke and spitting into the wind. It's an endless cycle of disappointment and disillusionment. You see this ball up here? Kind of reminds me of a hamster wheel. That's what you're doing. You're just spinning the wheel over and over again, going nowhere. So if we turn back to Ecclesiastes and we continue to read, the author still doesn't have an answer. As the song goes, he still hasn't found what he's looking for. And so the book comes to a close like this. This is, again, the message version. But regarding anything beyond this, dear friends, go easy. There's no end to the publishing of books, and constant study wears you out, so you're no good for anything else. The last and final word is this. Fear God. Do what he tells you. And that's it. Eventually, God will bring everything that we do out into the open and judge it according to its hidden intent, whether it's good or evil. And y'all thought Job was bad. Not exactly ending on a triumphant note or even a hopeful note. Our writer seems kind of defeated. Well, I don't know. I don't know what all this is for, but I know that we should fear God, and in the end, God will sort it all out. Our writer was never able to find the meaning of life. He never found what he was looking for. But in those final words, we get a glimpse that he gets it. He knows that there's something more. And he knows that God knows what it is. The writer of Ecclesiastes is on the backside of Easter, screaming out for a message of hope. He's desperate for something more. He's in need of Easter. And my brothers and sisters, What he thinks God only knows has been revealed to us, by God through Jesus Christ. There is another way. There's another way. There's a way that doesn't lead to disillusioned life, but to meaning, purpose. And that is the way of the cross. God came to live with us. Heavens broke, and God came to live with us. He dwelt among us. He humbled himself. He showed us how to love. He healed. He showed us what God is and what God's about. He loved us so much that he sacrificed himself for us. He died a humiliating death on the cross so that we could be free from our sin. But it didn't end on the cross, because Jesus defeated death and was resurrected so that we might live forever with God. And so we follow after him. We follow after Jesus to the cross for a new way of life. The way of the cross, it brings meaning to everything that we do. And that meaning comes from God. God created us to be in a relationship with him. It tells us from the beginning. And being Easter people, that's what we are. We're Easter people. We're about bringing God's kingdom here on earth. We're about sharing that relationship to a lost world. We are called to join into the work that Christ has already started while he was here. And that means that what we do in this life matters. It has an internal impact. The writer of Ecclesiastes was worried that he would be forgotten. And when we walk the way of the cross, our actions affect the whole world. We don't have to worry about that. No, people probably won't remember our names. We might not have buildings and statues erected to us, but the effects that we make in this life will ripple out. The people that we love will be impacted forever. And that love just grows. It's like if you're throwing rocks into a still pond, and you throw that rock in, and you watch the ripples come out. They go on forever. And that's what happens when we love and we follow the way of the cross. Our ripples of God's love goes out forever. And we're empowered. We're empowered by the cross to be God's change agent. God's agents of change. We can change the world. And that's what the way of the cross does. The way of the cross also means to die to self. We no longer live, but Christ lives within us. It's hard. It's really hard to die to self. But it's when we die to self that we truly live. It seems so backwards, but that's the way of the cross. Patience, humility, weakness, gentleness. These are the things that are valued. Material possessions, pleasure, power. That's not why we're here. That's not what we're called to. Those things will leave us feeling empty. But when we commit ourselves to the work that God has called us to, we will find satisfaction and meaning in our lives. Like I said, it's not an easy road. Not at all. But when we give our lives to Christ, we will live the lives that he intended for us. It's when you die to self that you truly become alive. The way of the cross means what we do now matters. I think sometimes we get so fixed on the end, the future, and life eternal with God that comes, that we miss the point of living in this life. I don't think God wants us to just grit our teeth and bear it until we die. Oh, and then it'll be okay. Knowing that all will be right when we're dead, that's not the most hopeful of messages, at least not for me. In fact, it's kind of depressing. Is that what we want to give to the world? oh, just hang in there and you'll die and then God will set everything right. Who would come to church if that's what we were offering? And do we truly believe that meaning only comes when we're dead? I completely disagree. Through Christ and his sacrifice, we have a hope and a purpose rooted in today. Rooted in today and not just in the life to come. We don't believe in God just so that we can have eternal life. And when we reduce our faith to that, we miss an amazing opportunity to serve God and to love one another. A British theologian, Jeremy Bigby, puts it this way. Christians do not hope in the future. We hope from the future. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. That is our hope. The victory is won. He's risen from the dead. And we can take that message of assurance to the world and call the world to be transformed, to what God created it to be, not the fallen mess that we find it now. We bring a message of hope that says things can be different and they can be different now. You can find meaning and purpose in your life now. The way of the cross is also the way of community. We're not walking this road alone. We journey together as a community of believers that help us and encourage us. Our paths might look different, but we're on the same road. This past Friday, I made a trek to Lake Charles and back in one day so I could spend just a few hours with some friends from seminary. These are two women that are walking the journey with me. And our lives look very different. I'm an associate pastor, one is a youth director, and one's an insurance agent. Our lives look different. But we are all committed to living out our calling, to living out what God has called us to do in this world. Our ministries are not the same. And that's great. Wouldn't it be so boring if we were all called to do the same ministry and the same tasks? We need people in different roles. We have different gifts. And in using those gifts, we find hope and meaning and purpose. We live out what God has called us to do. We all work to bring about God's kingdoms here on earth, right now. And Jesus says, drop what you're doing and follow me. And that's what we do. The way of the cross is a message of hope that we bring to the disillusioned. I can't emphasize to you enough what an important message this is. Disillusionment seems to be at an all-time high. You probably know someone who's pretty disillusioned with this world. And when you look at what the world has to offer us and the answers to life's questions, it's pathetic. It reminds me of a quote from a Christian writer and Holocaust survivor, Corrie ten Boom. She said, "If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest." When we look to the world to fill our meaning and purpose, we'll be distressed and disillusioned. When we look within to find our meaning and purpose to ourselves, we become disillusioned, depressed, and selfish. But when we look to God, we find meaning and purpose and rest. And we have a message of hope for the world. We have an answer for the disillusioned, and that hope comes from Jesus' death and resurrection. A life without Jesus has no purpose. A life without Jesus is an endless cycle of futility. A life without Jesus leads to dissatisfaction and disillusionment. Thank God there's another way. Thank God for the way of the cross. If you're like the song, U2 song, and you still haven't found what you're looking for, look no further than the cross. When asked about that song, Bono said that it was about his search for more, because he needed a personal relationship with Christ. And he found that and has done amazing things because of his relationship with God. You can have a personal relationship with a risen Savior who can bring meaning and purpose to your life. Ecclesiastes ends by telling us to keep God's commandments. And when Jesus walked this earth, he told us that the greatest commandment was to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Everything rests on this. This is the way of the cross. Several words from the Robert Frost poem, The Road Not Taken, seem to be an appropriate close as we end today. They say this: two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference. The way of the cross is the road less traveled. It's not an easy road, but it will make all the difference. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.